It's the 7th of February, and we're at the end of the second week, and this is the last day to add. So if anybody's interested, tell your friends and family. There's still room. We lose a lot of people. Okay, announcement. Investment Club at 12 noon, next room over. 12 noon, Investment Club. The assignment for Chapter 1, the goals, are due. The assignment is due next Thursday. If you need help, contact me today. We're going to start Chapter 3, taxes, everybody's favorite subject to hate. But we have a couple of accounting things to pull off first. But first, we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? No? Anybody has a good joke? Got to hear my bad jokes. So did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar? How about the... Yes. Yeah. Can't create a hostile environment.
Yeah.
It will?
Yeah, yeah. No,
no. Okay, let's hear. Is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it. It's running down the street. I said good jokes. Is your refrigerator? Yes. Do you have Prince Albert in a can? Let him out. Okay. Did I tell you about the... you got an extra? Push it that way. They need one. So you people in the back, you gotta be on your toes. Did I tell you about the alligator that walked into the bar? And the bear? How about the mushroom? How about the sandwich? I didn't tell you about the sandwich. So the sandwich walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? Oops. No? And orders a beer. And the bartender looks at him and says, we don't serve food here. Because he's a sandwich. Don't serve food. Don't serve sandwich. Okay, extra? Okay. So, I know if we did. Oh, you got an extra? Okay. All right, so now, did you get one?
No.
Okay. You need two?
Oh, I'll.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so now, before we do anything else, we want to let you know that we actually, believe it or not, give you a grade for attendance. And there's a couple of reasons why. It tends to help get people here on time and show up for class, which is important because some people just don't have the best time management skills or whatever. Have you noticed the same people are always late? It turns out the studies have shown that they're optimistic. They just think, oh, yeah, I got plenty of time. And then they realize, oh, I don't have plenty of time. But attendance and tardiness are graded according to a formula that is very much akin to the formulas that the credit bureaus use to assess a person's credit worthiness. So it's actually a teaching tool also. Because when we get the credit, you're going to see that there's a credit score that's going to follow you for the rest of your life. And actually, the Chinese are creating one, but it's not a credit score. They call it a cultural score or something like that. But it's like a credit score. And we say, that's ridiculous. And they say, well, you do the credit, it's the same thing. And it does. It is basically the same thing. We use the credit score as basically a cultural, how good of a person you are. For every absence or tardiness, points will be deducted from your score. For every subsequent class that the student attends on time, the score will recover points. This is what happens. You miss a payment, boom. You start making payments, it goes back up. You miss a payment, boom, it goes down. So the typical student who misses or is late every once in a while will not be materially affected, just as the occasional missed payment ding on your credit score is quickly erased if you continue to make your subsequent payments on time. It is the atypical student who habitually misses or is routinely late for class after class, and you know who you are, you will find that your attendance grade has suffered significantly. Now, it doesn't begin until next week. So the first 2 weeks, because it's crazy, are not counted. But after starting next week, it does. If you miss or tardy for an exam, that doesn't count. As long as you show up for the exam or make other arrangements, you'll get credit. There's no provision for excused absences. Please don't bring me a note from your mother. No, just show up on time. Now, if you miss an exam, you need to contact me. We'll make alternative arrangements. It is very easy to do so. So please contact me. Okay, now, cell phones. Please turn them off. If you have an emergency, your car's going to have a baby or your sister needs a new transmission, tell me, okay, fine, sit over here, and if you have to get up and run out. But it's so sad because they used to be, remember the tiny phones, the flip phones? They used to be ubiquitous. Like that word, ubiquitous? Means they were the norm. And when somebody would grab their cell phone and run out the door and try to talk, I would grab it from them and say, oh, here, and give it back to them. And then that would stop that very quickly. So please turn it off. Turn your cell phone off. Oh, and by the way, we don't drop. Some people say, do you drop the worst grade? No, we don't drop the worst grade. Just do a good job. And we're very, I shouldn't use the word, but it's liberal in our grading. So please, we want you to be good. Cool. Now, what you're going to do? You're going to take, it's over here. You're going to take this piece of paper right there, and I can't find it. It doesn't matter. You see it. You're going to, here's a scissors. Be careful. Please run with your scissors. I don't run with your scissors. Print your name clearly. Print your name clearly, and then sign. And here's the scissors. So pass the scissors around, and then we'll collect them by the end of the day. Cool? This is your pack, which is the very last page of the first one. The very first one. It's the very last page of the first one. Okay? Okay, cool. Now, we also want to spend a little time reviewing the cash flow and the net worth statement. So let's do this guy right here. This is Kiana. Kina. Come on up, kind of plenty of room. Okay. So point her in the right direction. You have your chapter one packet. So now, after you, the scissors are coming around. Take out your chapter two packet. Anybody not here on Tuesday? Not here on Tuesday? Chapter two packet. And there is, on page number three, there is a practice cash flow statement and a practice net worth statement. So pick out your chapter two packet. And on page number three, there is a cash flow practice. Who will read number one, the cash flow? Somebody want to read number one? Don't everybody jump at once. Okay, I got to pick on somebody. Is it Amy? No, not Amy. Oh, yes, Tara.
I can read it if you want.
I want somebody to read it, yes. It's English.
1,500 rent, 600 food, 100 gas and electric, 80 phones, 5 gas, 1 $25 credit card payment, 300 medical insurance, and 1 miscellaneous. This also contains total income, total expenses, and home monthly, so plus 4,200.
Okay, so who is this? Do you have this?
Yes.
Suzanne Fox. Suzanne Socks?
Okay.
Suzanne Socks? I don't wear shoes. Anyway, so she has a full-time job, part-time job, and some child support. So where does that go? Tough question, folks.
Income.
Where's it? Income, right, it's income. So the full-time job, the part-time job, and then the child support. That goes on the left over here. And then the amounts. Tough question, folks. The amounts. Everyone say 2,100. It goes faster if you answer me. What are the amounts? What's the amount, folks? 2,100. Yes. I know you think I'm crazy. You may be right. But it actually goes faster. You learn better when you actually respond. The studies have shown that the stuff in the back of your head moves and makes the electrical connections. So, part-time job? 400. Child support? So, add that up on your 99-cent calculator. 3,000 even? 3,000 even? Okay, 3,000 even. Okay, now, here's the tricky part. All the expenses. Rent. And food. And gas and electric. And phone. And gasoline. And credit cards. Oh my God, $125 a month credit card payments. And medical insurance. And miscellaneous. And again, this is the one. These are the things that kill you. You just forget. You know, oh, I forgot the doctor. Forgot the veterinarian bills. Forgot the orthodontia. So what's the rent? Everyone wants to say 50. Why? You see the numbers right there. It's next to the word says rent. What's the rent? What's the food? What's the gas and electric? Yeah, phone. 80 gas. 65 credit card. And some of you stop talking, and 300, and then 150. So add those guys up. Some of you have already done that. I'm sorry? Whoa, all right. 2,920. So what does she have as a surplus or discretionary? Right, $80 surplus. Piece of cake? Could you do that on an exam? If I were in this class, I would make sure I could do that because it might. Yes, Darlene?
Are you going to give us the same?
It'll look the same.
Layout? Because mm-hmm. You literally told us what the income
mm-hmm. is. Yeah, everything we do in here is really tough. You'll never figure it out. We do that on purpose. And then the same thing is true. You want to do the net worth together? Don't everybody answer at once. Okay, so who will read number two? Who will read the net worth, the balance sheet? Oh, by the way, remember that the net worth practice, net worth statement is also called a balance sheet, net worth statement, and the cash flow statement is also called an income statement. Okay, so who will read this? Don't everybody jump at once? Who am I going to call on? How about it? And your name again is Amy? No.
Mia.
I got the A and the Mia. Okay, I got them back. Okay, Mia, who is this? So who is this?
Oscar Ruitt.
They get worse. Yeah, it takes a while. Some of them are a little bit of a stretch. So what assets does he have? How much is his home? Everybody. $235. It's a birdhouse. How much is the auto? $8,000. How much is the furniture? Everyone. Wait a minute. Is it really worth $4,000? Maybe, but remember, we use fair market value. So if you don't think you're going to, if you had a yard sale and nobody's going to pay you $4,000, put the fair market value down. Okay, what about the artwork?
$5,000.
What about the miscellaneous?
$2,000
in cash? $1,000. So add those up. And what are his assets? $255. Going once, going twice. Now, liabilities. What liabilities does he have?
Mortgage.
Got it. Everyone to say mortgage. Wait, did I ask you? What liabilities do you have?
Mortgage.
And that is $215. And he's got what else? Car loan, auto loan for $5,000. And then he's got those darn student loans. At $12,000? Yeah. So total liabilities? $232. Does he have a positive net worth? Yes. 255 minus 232 is 23,000. He has a positive net worth. If it were negative, got a lot of student loans, not much assets, he'd be a very typical young male adult, just out of college or still in college. So don't get upset. So can you do those? Piece of cake. And then there's another one. What happened to the other one? Oh, here it is. There's another one on the back of that, which is, where is it? On your own. It has the answers, so do it on your own. But not now, not now. Okay? Now, because we're ready to get to everybody's favorite subject to hate, and that's taxes. Anybody sneak in a little early, a little late? Anybody not get this guy yet? Taxes in your planning your tax strategies. Kiana? Kenya. Okay, who else snuck in a little bit late? Got one? Chapter 3? Okay, taxes. Do you like taxes? Where do you start working? You're going to love taxes. Mr. Disney, he's a crazy man. Well, you know, we start with a few quotes from famous dead people. In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Benjamin Franklin, statesman, inventor, and author. Now, you might be into American history. Maybe you're not. Younger folks are not, it seems. And in general, a kind of blatant generalization. But they just don't have as much interest in history. And I may add that the best thing you can do in terms of your health and your happiness is get rid of your television and go to the library and take out books, because books are cool. The pictures are better. I'm not talking about graphical novels. But read historical novels from the Civil War, from the Revolutionary War, and you'll get interested in history, because it'll make it come alive. And more than anybody else, in my humble opinion, this guy was responsible for the United States being. People say, no, it's Thomas Jefferson. No, it's George Washington. No. What did Dr. Benjamin Franklin do? Anybody know? That helped the colonies separate themselves from the UK. Anybody? You guys don't know. He went to Paris and got the other superpower at the time, because the UK was the superpower maritime, and France, the other superpower, was got in on the side of the colonies, and that more than anything else helped the colonies, in my humble opinion, separate from the UK. Also, do you have bifocals? Anybody? Anybody? Not here. Older? What?
What's the
question? Bifocals.
What about
do you have them?
Oh.
Younger folks, no, but older, you'll get them, bifocals. He invented bifocals. He was the guy who invented bifocals. So, is that cool? Is it true? The only thing certain in this life? Death and taxes? Yeah. Then, here's another famous dead person, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr., a Civil War veteran and one of the longest-serving Supreme Court judges. Taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. You see, you want to live in a civilized society, you need to pay the organization that keeps the thing civil, that keeps the whole darn work thing working. But here's an alternative view. Only the little people pay taxes. And this was Leona Helmsley, a hotel owner, fashion designer, and a convicted tax felon. You know, somewhere along the line, maybe in the parking lot of a Walmart somewhere in St. George, Utah, or on the internet somewhere, you're going to see people screaming up and down and yelling, taxes are unconstitutional! Taxes are voluntary! You don't have to pay your taxes here! Just follow our easy guide for $295. Okay, a little bit of a civics lesson. Who makes the laws in this great land of ours? See, you guys don't know civics either. This is bad, because we got a goofball in the White House that doesn't like this system, and he wants to get rid of it. Who makes the laws? Who decides that we're going to sleep in Area A, put our stuff in Area B, and crap in Area C? The legislature, our representative. The legislature. I can spell that right. Is that right? Did I spell that right? I didn't spell it right. Our representatives. Who executes the laws? Some couple people. Some people remember their civics lessons. The executive branch. This is the president at the federal level, governor, the mayor at the local level. They're responsible for executing the laws. The legislature, our representatives, the Senate, the House, the Assembly in the state, and Senate in the state, the city council, they pass a law, but the executive branch is there to execute it. That's the IRS, the FBI, the military. Who, though, decides how the laws will be interpreted? Everyone should say judiciary, the judicial branch. Their job, the people in the black robes, is to say this is what this law means. And over and over and over again, the judiciary has said, yes, you have to pay your taxes. So don't listen to these goofballs jumping up and down saying it's unconstitutional. These are the people who decide whether it's unconstitutional. We have a fourth estate, it is called, and that's the press. It's not in the Constitution, but it's there sort of when they say you cannot abrogate the rights of the people to know information, there's no law, the First Amendment. And this is sometimes called the fourth estate, but this is the enemy of the people now, so we have to get rid of them. Only Fox News are the only ones allowed to have. Okay, so questions, thoughts? My understanding is they allow you, the IRS will talk to the judge, and they'll allow you to serve your time on the weekends, right? And so that you can go back to work and pay off the taxes that you were supposed to pay and all the penalties. That's a joke. But can you go to jail for not paying your taxes? Oh, yeah. For not paying your taxes, no. But for lying about your taxes. Not paying your taxes, they come and try to take your house and everything. So, taxes and financial planning. We're not going to turn you into tax preparers, but we are going to learn how to do a typical tax return for the typical homeowner. And we'll, in the process, learn how to do the easy one, because the easy one, you just don't do all the stuff that we do for the homeowner. Okay? About one-third of each dollar you earn goes to pay taxes. Once you've joined the benevolent machine, and you're trading your life for your paycheck, good job, full pay, I'm happy, you're paying about one-third of your dollars to the government. For that reason, the anti-tax folks call May Day Tax Freedom Day. Because you're working January, February, March, and April for the government, and then you're working from May all the way to December for yourself. How's that for a thought? Now, for most people, it's not one-third. They pay less. So some people it's April, some people it's March, but whatever. Understanding the tax rules and regulations can help you reduce your tax liability. To help you cope with the many types of taxes, you should know the tax laws as they affect you, the best of your ability. Make purchase and investment decisions that reduce your tax liability. Be careful. Not all tax advantage investments are good values for the middle class. We'll talk about muni bonds. Yeah, they're good for people who got a lot of money, but not so good for us. And maintain complete tax records. This is a very important thing. And that might be your non-financial goal, is to get all your tax records organized. We have four different types of taxes in the United Snakes of Armenia. The sales tax, the excise tax, sometimes an environmental tax, right? You have to pay an extra amount on whatever you buy. Taxes on property, if you own real estate. I never liked that term. Why do they call it real estate? Why do they call a building or a house or land real estate? You know the name? Because it's connected to the ground, right? Anything that's connected to the ground, either or ground or our land, is called real estate. And the state will assess a property tax you pay every year. Personal property taxes are on certain items, your car. When you pay your registration, the California calls it the vehicle license fee. That's your personal property tax. RVs, boats, and the like. But most personal property, no. And then taxes on wealth. We don't have this in the United States until you're dead. And even then, it only affects a tiny percentage of people. Very, very wealthy. But 2,000 years ago, when the government and the religion were basically one and the same, this was the major tax. And there are a couple people, they're not, it's not going to happen, but there are a couple people now jumping up and down saying we should have a wealth and a wealth tax and estate tax on the very, very wealthy. I don't know, maybe it'll fly. I don't think so, but we'll see. But the tax collectors, who were some of the most hated people in biblical times, would come around every year and look at what you had and total it up, and they would ask you to pay 10%. And we still have it in the language. Have you heard of tithing? Tithing, we associate it with church, because the church and the religion were basically one and the same. And it meant that you pay a tenth of your wealth. Now it just means you're giving to your church, tithing. It could mean 10%, but it might not mean that much. And that's why, at the time, instead of just letting you go to prison on the weekends and pay your tax bill off by working, they would put you on a pole and whip you, or maybe crucify you if you didn't pay. And that's why they were some of the most hated people. And that's how Jesus got in trouble. Jesus of Nazareth, you ever hear that guy? He was friends with tax collectors and the other very hated people at the time and despised women. So he treated tax collectors and women nicely, and that's why they killed him. You guys don't appreciate that, do you? I think it's cute. Women were treated pretty poorly. Anyway, and this is the one we're going to spend most of our time on, the income tax. The ones that people will scream up and down and holler and say are unconstitutional. There is a fifth type of tax that we're going to deal with, but it's not really a tax. Technically, Social Security, Medicare are contributions to a mandatory retirement system and a mandatory health care system. And you're hearing people say, Medicare for all, because they don't want to use the term socialized medicine because that's bad. But that's what Medicare is. It's a socialized system, Social Security. And even though they're not really taxes, they are contributions. We call them taxes. In fact, they're often called payroll taxes as opposed to income taxes. And currently it stands at 6.2% of your gross salary for Social Security, and then 1.45, almost 1.5% for Medicare. And people will say that they're going broke. No, Social Security is not going broke. It's got structural problems that we're going to have to deal with. Medicare is going broke. And it's not because of Medicare. It's because of health care. It's bankrupting our entire country, and they'll deal with that later on. If you're self-employed. Anybody self-employed here? You get to pay not only your portion, but your employer's portion. I know you don't like your boss, he's a jerk, or she's a jerk. But every dollar you put into Social Security and Medicare, they match. So if you're self-employed, you're supposed to pay that. Not quite double, it's a little less than double, but you have to pay your portion and your employer's portion. Okay? So, now this is on page 2, I think, of your document. Where is it? I forget where it is, but here it is. This is what you're looking at. Page 2. I think it's page 2. Is it page 2? Yes, it is page 2. So get out page 2. And the question is, how much does it really cost? You walk into Best Buy. You walk into Best Buy. And you didn't even know this thing existed until 5 minutes ago when you saw it on television. But now you have to have it. It's a stereo that can be... You can put it underwater, and you can listen to it underwater. And I don't know, why is that such a big selling point? Who puts their stereos underwater? Why is that? It gets splashed. Okay. Oh, it falls in. How drunk were we? Okay. Now I understand. If it's in a pool, it falls in. Okay, got it. Who's going to dunk their stereo? So anyway. It's $299. So you walk into Best Buy, and you give the woman or the guy $299, and you walk out. No. What else do you have to do? You have to give them sales tax. And what is most of them in San Diego County, what most of the places? 8%. National City? National City's gone to 10?
Certain stores have different.
Certain stores. Well, National City is 9%. Is it going up to 10?
Yep.
Ooh, I didn't know that. But you know, local jurisdictions can add. There's a state amount, which I forget what it is. It's like 7 point something. And then the local sandag for our transportation tax on 0.5% for the freeways and the like. So you have to pay $23.92, and you walk out with that stereo that you can dunk in your pool for $322.92. Is that how much it really cost? Well, it depends. If somebody gave you that money, you're a trust fund baby, and we have lots of trust fund babies at Southwestern Community College. No, that's how much it really cost you. But if you had to earn that money, you had to earn more than the $322.92. And if you have a paycheck, you know what they do, right, when you get your paycheck. What do? You have two partners, Uncle Sam and Uncle Cal. And they have got their hands in your pockets. Now, here's where it gets tricky. It depends upon this amorphous thing that we call the marginal tax bracket. And you're going to want to hate this, but you really should learn it. You understand it. It's a little tricky. But everybody pays different amounts of taxes depending on how much money they make. So this depends on the tricky thing called your marginal tax bracket. And once you've reached, as we'll see, not today, but definitely on Tuesday, when we get back, once you've reached the middle class, whatever that is, you're most likely in the 22% federal bracket. That used to be 25% just a couple years ago. Well, they changed it for 2008 at the end of 2017, and we'll talk about that in a bit. If you're California is a little strange because they have far more brackets. So it could be 4, it could be 6, or it could be 8 because there's far more brackets. But let's use 7, even though there is not a 7% tax. So that means in order to buy that $322.92 worth of goods, you had to earn an additional $112.14 to pay to Uncle Sam and an additional $35.68 to pay to Uncle Cal. But then you also had to pay Social Security Medicare, which was about $39 for the old folks' retirement plan and their old folks' medical plan. So that cost, the after-tax cost of the stereo, is actually $509.74. And you think I'm joking you. I'm not. Here's the formula. That may be on an exam, so you might want to, you don't have to memorize it, the formula will be there, and we'll do a couple of them, and you'll see that it's not that hard to do. You take your out-of-pocket expense, whatever it costs you to get out the door, environmental fees, recycling fees, sales charge, plus the cost of the item, and you divide it by 1 minus your marginal tax rate. So the marginal tax rate depends on the individual. In this case, 22%, 7%, 7.5%, and these are percentages, so you have to move the decimal place to the left, and we'll do a couple of problems. And that's how much it costs. Poop. Poop. Do you want to do one? Ready? Okay. So, we went to Cancun. How was it? Was it fun? Or did she turn out to be a real jerk? He turned out to be a real jerk. We paid out of pocket $2,000. So how much did it really cost us? Now we have to choose our marginal tax bracket. And you can change it, right? You could decide, you know, I'm really in the 10% bracket. But let's use 22% for the feds, 7% for the state of California, and instead of 7.65, which just makes the calculation more tricky, let's use 8% for Social Security and Medicare. How's that? Can you fly with that? Even though it's really 7.65. And these are what we will use. Now, you can use something else depending on your tax bracket, but these are what we would use, and we might even see them on an exam. So, sound like a hint, hint, hint? Okay, good, good, good. So you take the $2,000 and you divide it by 1 minus 22% plus 7% plus 8%. Okay, now here's where you get just a little tricky. We don't type 22% into our calculator. What is 22% decimal?
0.22. What's 7%? Yeah, don't put 0.7. That's 70%.
You know, two-thirds of people don't understand fractions and percentages, and the other 40% can't figure them out either. That was a math joke. Anyway, and then what's the 8%? 0.08. Everyone say 0.08. Wait till I ask you, what's the other 8? What's the 8%? 0.08. If you don't believe me, just take 8 and divide it by 100, because that's what por ciento means, por ciento, by 100. Your calculator will tell you it's 0.08. So 0.22 plus 0.07 plus 0.08? 0.37, says Carlos? Yeah. Come on, you do it. You get the 99-cent calculator. Come on. Okay, you can use your smell phone, but make sure you put it on vibrate. Okay, so 0.37. Everybody with me? Yeah. All right, one minus that. So 2,000, what is 1 minus 0.37? Somebody besides Carlos? 0.67? Six three. Just seeing if you're watching. Okay, so what? 2,000 divided by 0.63? 74 and 60 cents. So the trip actually cost us over 3,000. Now, is there anything we can do about this? Anything?
Not go on the trip.
Right? You could not go on the trip. But I want to go to Canada. Actually, I think Tulum. If you're going to go to the East Coast, go see Tulum. Merida. Forget Canada. Unless you like Tommy Bahama and Century 20, not Forever 21 and Starbucks and all the other American things. It looks like Fascist Valley. You could work under the table. Right? But I hear that the IRS lets you do your time on the weekends. You could go to a deserted island and build your own civilization, right? Build your, defend yourself, grow your own food, eat the bit that you don't think is poisonous. You see, taxes are the price we pay to live in a civilized society. And they also pay for education. How much did you pay to take this class? Do you think that your $46 per unit actually went to pay for my salary? And some of you don't pay nothing, right? And they're talking at the state level. The new governor is talking about making it free for everybody for the first 2 years, just for the first 2 years. But then still dirt cheap. What does it cost to go to University of Spoiled Children? I'm sorry. University of Southern California. No, it's like... No, $60,000 a semester. $60,000, $70,000 a semester to go to University of Southern California. Yeah. And we promise you, after 2 years at Southwestern, you will not have $80,000 worth of student loan debt. Just 50. No, I hope not. What are you buying? I buy really expensive books. No, this is it, folks. This is it. But, you know, you hear people complain and holler about taxes, and they're the same people who, when something goes wrong, why isn't the government doing anything about this? Because it costs money. We gotta charge our citizens the taxes, and we know they don't like paying taxes because they're taxpayers too. I don't like paying them either. And so that's the eternal struggle, isn't it? We want to live in a civilized society, but we don't want to pay for it. Oh, well. Now, how about a used car? We'll use the same marginal tax rate, or do you want to try a different one? Use the same ones? Okay, so car, can we get a decent used car for $12,000? Yeah, pretty decent, sure. One minus, again, the 22%. Plus the 7%, plus the 8%, which we already know to be 0.22, plus 0.07, don't put 0.7 on you, 0.08, which Carlos told us is 0.37, 1 minus that, 12,000, divided by 0.63, holy mackerel. Somebody in the cheap seats got it?
1,900.
$1,904? $4.36.
76.
Seven. Oh, sorry. So 19 grand. Now, will the friendly salesperson at the dealership tell you that? No. And then you can choose items of yourself. What do you want to do? What else? What do you buy often, or what do you buy sometimes very rarely? How about a beer? Want to do a beer? Beer? How much is a beer?
Depends on where you buy it.
Depends on where you buy it, right? You go to Mexico and go, cervezas, two for 20 pesos. So let's say you go to a craft brewery. How much are they? $9 for a beer? Look, I just want to drink it. So $9 divided by 0.22 plus 0.07 plus 0.08, and we know that is 0.22 plus 0.08. I can't even draw anymore. 0.07 plus 0.08, or 37.37. $9 divided by 1 minus that is 0.67, and that beer actually costs us $14.29, which is why, okay, it better be a darn good beer. Christine here? In Wales? No. Okay. It better be a good beer. So now do this on your own. Do a couple things that you, not right now, but do this on your own, a couple things that you're interested in. Okay? Okay, so shifting gears. That was our after-tax cost. And the idea, if there's a takeaway, is to just get you to think about your next purchase. Do you really need that stereo that you can dunk in the water? You already have one that you can't dunk in the water. Just don't get too drunk, and it'll save on beer. Okay. All right, because now we're going to shift our attention to income tax. So that's the biggie. That's the one that it takes up once we join the benevolent machine, the great American economic life that takes up most of our money. Who must file? Well, it changes every year. And in 2018, we're going to be doing 2018 returns. If you're single, $12,000. If you're married, $24,000. Head of household, married filing separately, there's a couple others. But in reality, if you earned income, if you got a paycheck or you were self-unemployed, you should file. Because if you have a refund coming to you or you're eligible for the earned income credit and you don't claim it, are they going to call you up and say, hey, Fred, it's Joe at the IRS. We saw that you have about $300 that you could get a refund if you file. Would you file? Because you didn't file. Are they going to do that?
No.
And after 3 years, I think it's 3 years, tough. You're skunked. You can't get it back. So you should file anyway if you earned income. And there are five filing status categories, the two major ones being legal and married filing separately, and then for some people, head of household. Single, married filing jointly. These are the two biggies. And then head of household is important for some people. But married filing separately is, you know, it's usually not in your best interest. There are some situations where it might be a good idea. But usually you only do this when there are knives involved and court orders and you're not speaking with the jerk anymore. And then if you recently lost your spouse, I think you get 2 years to still be married filing jointly. So that only for a couple of years. But we're going to take a look at single. We're going to take a look at married filing jointly because those are the biggies. Okay? What tax records should you keep? Well, I tell people to keep everything. Tax forms, instruction booklets, your numbers, your previous year's returns. Well, that won't help you so much between 2017 and 2018 because they changed everything. Your W-2 forms, 1099s, money you received, 1098, money you paid. Receipts, documentations, business expenses. If you're self-unemployed, keep them, folks. They might ask you to produce all those receipts. How long should you keep them?
Yes.
I like that answer. Well, you know, people say 4, 3 years, 7 years, 10 years. The IRS says you should keep them for 3 years from the date the return was due or filed, which is normally for most people, or 2 years from the tax was paid. If you missed a couple of years and paid it, you know, 2 or 3 years later, keep it for an extra 2 years. You know, it doesn't start in the year that was due. You didn't pay it for a couple of years. Did you get, okay. But then here's the thing, right? They then go on to say, but you should keep some records longer. But they don't tell you which records, and they don't tell you how long. So I say, thanks. Thanks a lot. And the truth is, if they suspect fraud, there is no statute of limitations. They could go back 25 years if they believe that you did fraud. And I know somebody, they went back almost 10 years on her. And it was not a fraud. They just screwed up. They completely screwed up, but they thought that she didn't claim all this income, and she claimed her income. They just didn't believe her. And so I say, keep them forever. So I'm old. We got tons of tax records going back years, and we've got them in these boxes. And every year, I look at them and I say, I got a scanner. I can scan all these documents in and put them on a CD or a DVD or, and then shred them all, and then I go take a nap. Yes.
Can you scan them and keep them on your computer when they take it?
Oh, sure. As long as it's, you know, you say, yeah, these are all scanned. As long as it looks official, you know. I mean, obviously, you could try to scam them and put a Photoshop things. But I wouldn't do it. I mean, I don't recommend that you do it because, again, I'll tell you a little story. My brother-in-law is a master carpenter. I'll show you pictures if you want to see him of our backyard. He just does such good work. And he's not very good with his finances. And it's not that he wasn't trying to scam the IRS. He screwed up, and they were trying to help him. They didn't want him to go under. He had a business. And he's in there. This is in New York. He now lives in Tucson, but he was in New York. And he went to New York in one of the, you know, downtown Manhattan. He sees this guy in a three-piece silk suit, jewelry and everything, crying hysterically. They got him. They said, yeah, you know, sorry, John. Sorry, Charlie. You're going down. And so don't goof with the IRS. They can make your life miserable. And they don't have as much power as people think they do, but they have a lot of power, and they've got tons of nickels. They have plenty of money to continue to investigate you, so don't play with them. Do your best, you know. I mean, they're reasonable people, too, sort of, kind of, shorter. I knew somebody intimately who worked for the IRS for many years, my mother. And she would tell you the truth. She'd say, nobody knows what you're doing. We do the best we can, but they always come back. This is wrong. Why is it wrong? I don't know. They said it's wrong. And the people who do know what they're doing, you're not allowed to talk to them because they're so damn busy. You know, they're the only ones who know what they're doing. So I wish I would have saved this. I had this great, I'm really bad artistic, but it had four panels. It was a cartoon. And it had January 15th, and this guy's in his office going, all the papers. And then February 15th, he's doing some things. And then March 15th, he's got, everything's in order. And then April 15th, he's dropped it off at the IRS, and you see through the window, he doesn't see it, but he's dropped his papers off. And there's a guy inside the IRS office going, they don't know what's going on. So it's an issue. Okay, the Republican tax cuts of 2017. Now, if you love Republicans and you love Fox News, I apologize because I'm going to tell you the truth, which is not, it's all fake news, of course. But they really did screw things up. They, at least as far as Californians, back east along the Eastern Corridor, Chicago, Seattle, some, the high tax states, the high earned income places, they really put the screws to us. The tax cuts go overwhelmingly to the rich. The estimates range from 62 to 83% of the tax cuts go to the top 1%. The initial estimates ranged of to $500 billion to $1.7 trillion it would increase the federal deficit. Now it looks like it's going to add $4 trillion or more. We're looking at $1 trillion deficits for the next 6-7 years. And, you know, they said that they were going to pay for themselves, that the tax cuts were going to reduce the deficit, and obviously it's not working out that way. The corporate tax cuts are permanent, but the individual tax cuts phase out after 8 years. By 2027, approximately 53% of individuals will actually pay more taxes than they did in 2017, and the corporate rates were slashed from 37 to 21%. Corporations have had a huge windfall, which they were supposed to turn around and pay people more money, hire more workers, and invest in the economy. And what did they do? They turned around and gave most of it to the shareholders, which is what corporations do when they have excess cash. They don't know what to do with it. They're certainly not going to pay their employees anymore. They don't have to. They gave it to the shareholders, which is great for me because I'm heavily invested in stocks. Thank you very much. But in my humble opinion, not the best thing to do to an economy. And so we'll see. They thought, they were really sure that this was going to be a winner in the election in 2018. They were sure they were going to keep the House. They were going to get everything was going to be great. And they did get more senators, two more senators. But they lost the House dramatically. And have you ever heard of Orange County? You know where Orange County, California, there's Orange Counties all over the country, but have you ever heard of Orange County, California? It has been traditionally one of the most conservative, one of the most Republican areas for decades. They lost every single congressperson in Orange County, the Republicans. Why? Because all those people with very high mortgages and state and local income taxes saw that they're going to wind up spending $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 more next year in taxes, and they voted out the Republican congresspersons. So we'll see. Now, with the Republican tax cut, the IRS decided, okay, it's time to really switch things up. Let's redesign these forms from scratch. And, you know, some things they actually did okay. Other things I don't know if I agree with them. They decided it was a great opportunity to overhaul the method of reporting our taxes. So they scrapped the 1040A, which I was never a big fan of, scrapped the 1040EZ, which I thought was a really cool thing. They tried to make the 1040 look like the 1040EZ and then throw all these other pages in. So what used to be a two-page form is now still two pages with six pages that you may or may not have to use. So they say it's simpler. You know, you really have to wonder about the folks at the IRS. I think it was the congresspeople who were saying, oh, this is simpler. How could anyone possibly state with a straight face that adding an additional six pages is simpler? Plus, you don't know which pages you're supposed to use. You might use Schedule 1, you might use Schedule 3, you might use Schedule 4, so you have to work your way through. But you read the darn website, and they say, look, we expect people to not even use them. We want people to use TurboTax, TaxSlayer, TaxAct, H&R Blockheads at home. At home, what do they call it? H&R Block at Home. Right, they expect you to use software. Are you with me? And anybody use the software yet so far? One, just a couple people? We're going to do it manually. And then we'll show you, in fact, we'll show you, I don't think we can show you that. But have you heard of Vita? Okay, I'm going to pass around the, you can get your taxes done for free here at Southwestern, right over there, room 202, 203, in the accounting labs, from volunteer income tax assistants. And it's already too late because the training is back in January, but you can sign up in November and December. They will train you how to use their software. They will get you certified as a tax preparer for free. You can get college credit, Business 290, workplace experience, and you are required to do 40 hours of volunteering over, I think, 10 weeks. I did it actually a couple years ago, and I had a blast. I told bad jokes and told people, we are worth every penny that you are paying us. And they would look at you, we're not paying it. That's right. And the supervisor said, will you stop doing that? Will you stop saying that? Yeah, good luck. So we're going to learn how to do it manually, and then we'll show you TurboTax or one of the others, because they're actually pretty good. You know, they've gotten TurboTax is the 900-pound gorilla, but then because of that, there's lots of other companies that have basically stole what they did and have done a pretty good job of it. So let's take a look at 1040 form, page number 1. Now, what did I do? I wanted to save paper. So if you look at the page I gave you, it's actually 2 pages. Where is it? First income tax. Okay, now, stop it. Why do you do that? Just don't show that. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, so if you look, what is it, page 3? No, page 5. I forget what page it is. Page 3. Yeah. Hang on a minute. So see, what they did is, I don't know why they didn't just use one page, because page 1, all this stuff at the bottom is empty, and then page 2, all that stuff at the bottom is empty. So what did I do? I just printed out. I used a photo, not Photoshop, but I used a electronically. I just cropped it and put them together to save paper, because I didn't want to waste a sheet of paper because we're poor. But here's page 1, and then page 2 is on the other side. And so here's page 1. This is the identifying information. So who is this? A King back. And of course, what is his occupation? A King back is a mattress tester. Didn't I warn you? Did I tell? I told you it'd get worse. And so you have to be ready with good jokes. But did he put his social security number down? Oh yeah, because you want to put your social security number down. If you forget to do that, call them up, and they'll send you out a document, or they'll probably send you by email, and you put your social security number and sign it, and don't send in another one. Okay? Did you sign your return? No, I didn't. He signed the return. Did you forget to sign your return? If you did, call them up. They'll send you out, and don't send them another one. They'll send you out a thing called an affidavit, which says, "Okay, I sent it in, but I forgot to sign it." Because some people would forget conveniently to put their social security number, or conveniently forget to sign it, or they would put IRS sucks, you taxes are unconstitutional, you guys are stinky, plus other things. And you know, the IRS are people too, kind of, sort of, not really. And they went to the Congress and said, you know, we're tired of these nuisance and frivolous returns. So if you send in a nuisance, frivolous return, one guy sent his return in on the back of a T-shirt. If you send in one of these, they can fine you. I think it's $500. I think it's up to $1,000. For every nuisance you do. So IRS sucks, that's one. You stink, that's two. So they can fine you for doing that. So make sure you don't screw with the IRS. Okay? Now, what is this supposed to mean? Is A. King married? No. But he does have a child. He has a dependent. And this is where he can file as head of household. Normally, if you don't have any dependents and you're single, you file as single. Over there, single. If you're married, filing jointly, again, filing separately is because there's knives involved. But this is where people get messed up. Because say his wife, or his previous wife, or whatever, you don't know, also claimed the son and said, "I'm head of household." What's going to happen? The IRS moves slowly, but eventually he's going to get a friendly little letter that says, "Official business only, you screwed up. Come on, you both can't be the head of household." So they worked it out in the courts, or maybe, you know, without the courts. And so he has custody and takes care of the child. So who is the child? Who? Wayne DeBack. Wayne DeBack? No? Okay. And did he put his social security number down?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because now if you have a dependent, now if the child is born in December or something like that, it takes a while, so they just say, you know, you'll provide it. They want you to provide it because you can't get it in 3 weeks. But you have to put the social security number down. And it was a very interesting case study. See, they didn't used to require you to put the social security number down for your dependents. And then 1 year they did. And what happened in that 1 year?
A bunch of children.
7 million children and dependents disappeared. Isn't that interesting? See, they Would people in the United States of Armenia cheat on their taxes? Yeah. Well, not like some countries where it's an art form, where it's an art form. But definitely people cheat on their taxes. And so don't cheat on your taxes. Be a good little droogie. And so is page one pretty straightforward? You know, you're not blind. You're not over 65. This is the Affordable Care Act. You have to have insurance. If you don't have insurance, they charge you a penalty. And so this is pretty straightforward, right? Date it, sign it, put your... Why do they ask for your occupation? Why do they do that? What do they care?
See if it makes sense.
Yeah, if it makes sense. Their computers will do reliability statistics, or whatever you want to call it. And they'll look, and you say you're a doctor or a lawyer, and you're saying I only make $20,000 a year. They'll go, what's going on here, right? And so you got to tell them. I had one student, very interesting, colorful character. He had spent 8 years in state prison, not feds, for selling marijuana. He's up north. He had a little marijuana farm. What did he put down as his occupation? Gardener. Cut flowers. Was he lying?
No.
Did he report all his income? So the feds didn't touch him. Because usually they don't get you for the drugs. They get you for not reporting the taxes. The state got him. And that was a long time ago. He passed away. But he was a real character. And so he did everything other than selling marijuana. He did everything else legitimately. Okay. So that was the form 1040, page number one. And as we said, in 1987, the IRS started requiring taxpayers to include the Social Security number. 7 million children mysteriously disappeared. Okay, so now let's go to the top of page two, which they could have easily put on the same page, but I guess they wanted to just...
Question?
Yeah, sure.
If the parent is not the head of household, do they file a single?
Yeah, they would have to file a single. The head of household gets a few breaks that the single person doesn't get. So now, this used to be two pages, and they left some of the items here. But many of the items they put on other, what they call schedules, anywhere from schedule 1 to 6. That's probably a good idea. Should we leave that back row? People like to move in the back and put their up stuff against the wall, but we should probably leave that empty. That's probably a good idea. I have to think about that. Okay, so now, the two biggest ones, folks, are 1 and 2. Because chances are you have a job, you get a paycheck, and you get a W-2 form. Anybody got the W-2 form? Yeah. So that's the major form of income for most individuals. You might have some interest, and you might have some tax-exempt interest, but if you are like most people, your interest is going to be taxable. So that's it for a king. He's an employee. He's an employee. He earned $51,900. And had on CDs or some savings accounts and earned $100. So his total income is line 52. Now, there might be some Social Security benefits, pension plans, qualified dividends, and then also Schedule 1. These were all on the old 1040, but they moved them. What did I do with Schedule 1? There's Schedule 1. They moved them to Schedule 1. Are most people going to have business income, capital gains, alimony, rental, farm, maybe unemployment compensation? Might have kept that on. That's fairly typical for people. But all these others, which notice the numbering system, 1 to 9, you see? They used to have 1 through 9 on the 1040 form, and the ones we just looked at, the form we just looked at, and then they would be 10 through 22 on the old form. So they just kept the numbers for us old folks who remember the old numbers. But are most people going to have these? The answer is no. But if you're self-employed, you have to do this guy right here. You've got to do Schedule C. Right? Yeah. And again, a good tax program will take care of that pretty easily. But that's where that would go. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Is it really that difficult? Is it? It's tedious, it's boring, And what people have a tendency to do is look at all these things and go, ah, ah, it reminds me of the old Three Stooges joke. Oh, I can't see, I can't see, what's wrong? I got my eyes closed. They don't want to see it, and I don't blame them, but you're going to see it. Because it's really not that hard. Once you've slogged through it, it really is not that difficult. So let's go back to the, yeah. So wages, tips, salaries, that's the W-2, interest, dividends, retirement distributions, Social Security benefits, and all the other income from Schedule 1, business income, capital gains, farm income, and et cetera. So that line 6 is our, where is it? Oh, where did it go? There. Is that it? Where did it go? What did I do with it? Get rid of that guy. Didn't I make it bigger? Oh, yeah, I did make it bigger over here. No, I didn't. Anyway. Oosh, get rid of this guy. Do I look like I know what I'm doing? Okay. So there. So all the, so that's, they sometimes call this your gross income, your total income. All right, now, what happens now? The next section on the old 1040 form was the adjusted gross income. These are adjustments to your income. These are abilities for you to reduce your taxes, to reduce your taxable income and hence reduce your taxes. And they used to be on the 1040 form. But they took them off the 1040 form and then put them on Schedule 1 that we just looked at. So here are the adjustments to income. And for the mass majority of people, you're not going to have too many of these. But in A. King's situation, he put $1,000 into an IRA and he paid $1,000 in student loan interest. And so the IRS, the Congress, they're the ones that make the rules. The Congress said, if you have these two expenses, those are called adjustments to income, and you get to reduce your income. Educator expenses, if you teach K through 12, any money you spend to fix up your room, that's why our rooms don't look that nice, because we don't get a deduction. Health savings accounts, this is where if you pay self-employment tax, Social Security, Medicare, you get to deduct that. Health insurance, reserve, student loan interest, but alimony paid. So he only has these two. Is that difficult? Any questions? Put down the $1,000 that he has here, the $1,000 for the student loan interest, and then there's the total 36. Now, normally they would have you go back to the 1040 form, and they would have you, as they did over here, they didn't do it. They said, look, take whatever from line 36 on the Schedule 1 and subtract it. He said, I would like to see the $2,000 right here. That's what, if I was designing this, I would like to see that $2,000. But you take the $2,000 from the Schedule 1, subtract this, and you get your adjusted gross income, AGI. With me? I lose you? Adjusted gross income. That one right there?
You can write it?
I guess maybe you could. I don't think they'll come after you if you do that. If you put the 2,000 here, put a little negative sign, I think that'd probably be a good idea, actually. But here's what the IRS tells us. They say, look, people are afraid of tax audits. They say most audits are just because people did the wrong thing. Instead of subtracting the 2,000, they added. And they got 54,000. Because is it difficult? Is it cumbersome? Is it tedious? Is it confusing? Yeah. It's a good word. Messy. It's messy. The taxes are messy. And so that's what they tell us. They tell us that most audits are just because people did the wrong thing. So, his adjusted gross income. Line 1. I was supposed to put this up here. Line 1. 51,900. That's the wages. Goes to build it as I go along. Line 2, A, $100 in interest. And then line 6, right? Line 6 is 52,000. And then line 7, we take the $2,000 from Schedule 1 and we subtract that and we got 50,000. So that's our adjusted gross income, a very important number. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Because now it starts to get a little tricky. Why? Because everybody gets to take deductions. But there are two different deductions. Line 8. There's the standard deduction, or there's the itemized deductions. An itemized is the fancy word for listed. You list them out. You enumerate them. You like that word, enumerate? Won't you sound erudite if you said enumerate? Erudite's a fancy word for smart. I'm more eruditer than you.
Is that like when you make an expense where you just follow it? Like you buy TV for a business?
Well, that's if it's a business, that goes on Schedule C. But you're right. These are expenses. These are deductions. We'll take a look at. But notice that if you're single, boom. If you have no deductions, you get to deduct $12,000. If you're married, $24,000. Double it. Head of household, $18,000. Whether you have any deductions or not. And this is what the tax law did. They raised these deductions, which people thought, cool, cool, cool. But they took away all the personal exemptions. They took away all the personal exemptions. So if you had three or four kids, all those exemptions are gone. So people get, you know, you have family, you're living in California or New Jersey or New York or Connecticut, you're paying more. Oh, well. That's the law. So notice that he wrote down $22,000. He's married, he's a head of household. He gets $18,000. So he put down $22,000. So is he using the standard deduction? No, he's going to use the itemized deductions. He's going to list, he's going to enumerate, he's going to write down all the deductions that he has. And where is that done? Schedule A. That's on the homeowner's friend, Schedule A. So let's go. Do I have Schedule A? Yes, I do. I have it up here. The homeowner's friend. So he writes out Schedule A. Again, the software will do it for you. You type in the deductions, the software will burp it out. But notice, does he have any medical expenses? No. Now, wait a minute. He's got a son. Is it realistic to think he doesn't have any medical expenses whatsoever? I'm sorry? Maybe. Yeah, they don't want to do vaccines. Look, they'll give you the damn vaccine for free for your kid, but you just take them in. Well, what happens here? Let's say he had $1,000 of medical expenses. Let's fill in the numbers. Notice he left these blank. Let's say he has $1,000 of medical and dental expenses. But notice that on line number 2, they want him to enter the amount from 1040 line 7. Why don't they just say AGI? Because they don't think people know that. But they want him to put down the adjusted gross income. So what is the amount from line number 7? Everyone should say 50,000. It means you're still awake. You know, I was a math major, and we excelled at the fine art of keeping our eyes open while we were sleeping. So that way I know you answer me, I know you're still awake. Maybe he's talking your sleep. $50,000. Multiply 50,000 times 7.5, right? By 0.075, what is it?
0.075.
Yeah, multiply it. Multiply the, yes, it says multiply line 2 by 7.5, 0.075, and what is that? It's a tough question. You missed a zero.
Oh.
$37.50. So in other words, he has to have at least that much in medical expenses before he can deduct anything. If he had $5,000, then he could take $5,000 minus $37.50. If he had $10,000 minus, you see that? The first 2%, I'm sorry, 7.5%, the first 7.5% of your AGI is not deductible. That's why he left it blank, because he didn't have $3,750. So literally, you don't want this to be, that means somebody's sick and you don't have insurance. Are you with me? Understand? That's why he left it blank. But now, here's where it gets to the political stuff. State and local taxes. This is where he is able to deduct his income tax or his sales tax. So how much did he deduct? This is 5A, right? 5A. State and local taxes. They call it SALT now. So he deducted $1,000. And in California, it makes more sense for you to do your income taxes. Some states don't have an income tax. They have a sales tax. Some states don't have a sales tax. They have an income tax. So that's why the feds, the Congress, said you could do income taxes or sales taxes, but not both. You can't do both. So he put $1,000 down. He also has a condominium, and he pays to the county, who then sends it up to the state and keeps some of it for themselves, $3,900. Those are his state and local real estate taxes, so property taxes. And then he has a car for the DMV, so this is property taxes, and then DMV taxes, $200. He has a relatively new car, so he pays a pretty decent salary. He's in taxes. So add those up. Tough question, folks. Total? See, the total's right there. Add them up, and what do we get? $5,100. Come on, almost done. $5,100. Now, notice what's next. Enter the smaller of this line or $10,000. So what the Republicans did is they said you can only deduct the first $10,000 in state and local taxes. So you live in a high-tax state like California, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Illinois, near Chicago. You're paying far more than $10,000 in property taxes and income taxes. And that's why the Republicans lost Orange County. If you hit people in the wallet, they don't care. If you're a liberal or a conservative or if you're against abortion or if you're pro-military, you hit me in my pocketbook, I'm going to get you back. That's what they do. You people say, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican. I'm a Democrat with a small D, and I'm a Republican with a small R, which means everybody hates me. So, oh well, what are you going to do? So, $5,100. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Now, is he over the $18,000 yet? No. If he did not have that condominium, it wouldn't matter, would it? But guess what he pays because he owns a condominium in California? Line 8. What does he pay? $16,200 in interest. Yeah, that's actually not that much, folks. That's the low end of our housing market. So the mortgage interest, this is why we call it the homeowner's friend. $16,200. Any points that you pay, what the hell are they? We'll talk about those later. Any mortgage that you didn't pay to a mortgage company. Any other cutesy little things which are not there. Line 10. It's going to be mostly line 10. So, you see, the mortgage deduction is what sends most people over the standard deduction. And that's why the real estate agents will jump up and down and scream and holler and say, you have to buy a house. You're getting a tax deduction. Well, after 2017, the tax cuts 2018 and going up to 2025, when it all goes back the way it was in 2017, figure that one out. It might go back sooner depending on what happens next year after the election. Election. politics. So poly means many, and ticks are blood-sucking insects. That's another joke. Okay, so this is the thing that will knock him over the edge. Does he give any gifts to charity? Yeah, he gives Father Joe's, his church, Southwestern Community College, because we're a charity case. Actually, our foundation. Anybody apply for any of the scholarships through the foundation? That's where they go, mostly. The gifts to Southwestern go to the scholarship fund. So $700. Any of these other ones? Casualty? No. So add all these guys up, $22,000. Piece of cake. And then we go back to the 1040 form, and we put $22,000 there. Now, do you have to send in all the receipts to the IRS when you file Schedule A?
No.
But should you have the receipts? Because they might send you a friendly little letter, official business only, saying, you said you gave $700 to Father Joe's Village or Southwestern Community College Foundation. Send us the receipt. A copy. Don't send us the original. Make a copy. Send it off to them. And they'll send you back a little letter saying, thank you very much. Very cool. Yes?
When do you use the standard deduction instead of the itemized?
You use the standard deduction when your itemized deductions are less than the standard deduction. And for most people who don't own a home, they're in that situation. Okay, well done. What a great class. Not like last semester's class. Oh, boy, were they dumb. Good-looking class, but dumb. Aren't you going to ask me how dumb were they? How dumb? Thank you for asking. They were so dumb, it took them an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Okay, please. Told you. Please turn in these guys. You can just put them up here as you walk out. And no football this weekend. Plenty of time to study. Go over your notes. Read. Listen. And be awesome. And work on your goals. Yeah. No, it's due today. Due today. Thank you, Darlene. I gotta get a camera on you. You've got the best facial expressions. I mean, you got this. Yes. Oh,
thank
here.
You for the
okay.
Book.
Here. Yeah. Now this was the one that my. This is my last one.
Okay.
I bought the rest of them. This is the one that my stepfather gave me in 1991.
Oh my God.
And so I still have my name in the horn there.
Oh.
So please don't lose
thank
it. Okay.
You so much.
Okay. Yes. You need a ad code. Oh, sure. Okay, great. Let's get you in there. Yeah, because this is the last hurrah after next week.
I have a question. Will there be a paper before
the I'm sorry, the goals are due.
Yeah, on paper or on the internet?
Well, if you want to send them to me, see, the problem is we get so many emails every day, right? I prefer that you print them out.
Okay.
But if you want to send them to me, make sure you put your name, class, assignment number one on the subject.
Okay.
Okay, because I'll lose it. Okay. Okay. So let me get these ad codes here. Okay, your name?
Savannah
Rodriguez. Savannah. Now, did you get a packet for number one?
No, I didn't.
I gave them all out. Darn it. Or maybe I didn't. Maybe I have them. Oh, no, I have them. I ran out of the other one. Okay, Savannah, here's packet number one. So what you want to do, 6077-8634. And we're having some troubles. I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
Some of the ad codes were not working, but some were. So I'm going to give you two ad codes just in case. Now, and your name, sir?
Carlos.
I know. Okay, Carlos. I'm going to give you one. Carlos, last name?
Martinez.
Okay. I'm going to give you two also. So 6077-8640 and 8644. Okay? Now what you two are going to do is go to the website. Okay? What do I do here? Go to the website, and on the website you will see the first three presentations of Chapter 1, the presentation of Chapter 2, and the recorded lectures. Let's go look at it. Let's go look at it on the screen. Watch the screen. So you go to the Wonder Professor is my homepage. So now look where you bought Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. See that? Click on that. Scroll down. There's the next exam. Those are announcements for the online students. Here's the syllabus, which you have in your hands. Little introduction to myself, those are for the online students. But now, all the materials we give you in the packet are online and more. And then here, you can listen to the presentations, listen and watch the presentations. They're on YouTube. They're in iTunes. Right? No, where is it? Here. They're in iTunes. Search for Business 121. And then this one, 3C Media Solutions, has excellent closed captioning. If you need closed captioning,
you have to turn it on.
There it is. Okay, so you are going to catch up by going through these three, for the, and then here, these are the recorded lectures. I also record the lectures, so you can listen to the class also. You have more bad jokes in the class. And then also chapter 2. You missed chapter 2, so this is where we started today. We started with chapter 3. So also, you want to make sure you do this guy here. See the future value worksheet? We're going to go over these again, but you missed the one class where we spent a lot of time on this. There's the commentary, and then there's the answer key. So you want to go through those. And then we also went through the spreadsheets. So, of course, everything is online. Make sure you go do these over the weekend, and you'll be all caught up.
And the assignment, that one, where do we...
That's on there. The assignment sheet is, I forget what page it is. But let's take a look at it. It's the first one is page 4. There's the assignment. That's lecture number 2. You want to go through lecture number 2 and then look at page 9. That's the rubric. Shows you good examples and bad examples. Okay? And then check out page number 10 also, because that's if you're artistic, that's a cool thing also. So go through everything, because you missed a lot.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, your name again?
Moises.
Last name is?
Perez.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure thing.
I can look at my goals.
Oh, cool. Let's take a look.
I did more than...
That's okay. Cool. So we need to turn this thing off.